Welcome to Exploring Faith, a podcast from River Valley Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Each week, we share the powerful stories God is writing through His people. Real lives, living sent, bringing the gospel into everyday moments. It's exciting to have Shane and Nicole Garner here. I do remember meeting you. I think someone said, you got to meet this guy. I think that's what happened. And I went over and just said hi, and it was introduced to you. Shane and Nicole are out of a group called the 2x2s, by best way to explain them. And we're going to take a little time to know a little bit what that was like and how you came out of that and what you're doing now. But we'll just start by, if we don't mind, just start by telling us who you are and your kids and your family, what you do, just so we know you a little bit. So.
Well, we have been coming to River Valley for about 2 years now. We have three kids, and they're all school age now, so we're pretty busy running around to all their stuff. Yeah. And
so we live in Ripon, which is about 30 minutes away. Nicole is, how do you put it, a stay-at-home mom. I don't know if there's a more formal
engineer.
Term. Domestic engineer. And I'm a nurse anesthetist, so I do anesthesia and work in some various hospitals and surgery centers in the Fox Valley area.
Yeah. And you're a part of the 2x2s, so you grew up with that. A lot of people won't know what that is. So
yeah.
I'm just going to let you go ahead and explain a little bit of what that is.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, the 2x2s are a group that started in the late 1800s by a man named William Irvine. And so he had said that he found a scripture in Deuteronomy and said it was about God raising up a prophet. And so he said that he was this prophet. And when you go back and you look at, it's all documented, and you go back to, it started in Ireland in the late 1800s, and there's newspaper articles. And so he started off out of this faith mission, which was this group that went and preached, and then people would go back to their various churches, like on Sundays. Well, he eventually broke off from there, and he started this group, and he actually called it the Great Experiment. So didn't quite know how it was going to go. And the ironic part is that when we talk about, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that we called it the truth or the way. And so if you talk to someone that is still in it, that maybe denies that it was started by this man, because we didn't even know growing up, they would say, okay, it goes all the way back to Jesus' time. And there's been, even though we can't perfectly trace it, it's gone on since Jesus' time, just as the disciples went out.
And it was based on the ministers, or what we call workers, the verse where it says the harvest is great, but the workers are
few.
That's where they got the workers term from. And they would be sent out in pairs. And another requirement he threw on was that, okay, if they're going to be itinerant and homeless, they're going to need places to stay. And people won't want couples coming and staying with them and having to care for them. So he kind of made it that it needed to be two men or two women going out. So they were same-sex co-workers going out together. And they were basically supposed to give up everything they had and go preach the gospel. So they went basically with the clothes on their back, no money. They were supposed to be fed and clothed by the people of the church and people that they came across. In modern day, that was a little more lenient, I would say. Like, they used our cars. Someone from the church would provide them a car. We would give them money every time they stayed at our house. But at the same time, there was no transparency with money. Like, we never knew how much to give them. We never knew how much they needed. It was all just kind of very unknown, I guess.
Yeah. But based on generosity of the people.
There was a lot of unwritten rules that everybody just understood. And so we just kind of went about.
So, I mean, they based it on Matthew 10, right? So sending them out 2x2. And so they just took that as, like, that is the only way for anyone like that is Jesus ministry is two by two. Everything else is false. So we were just taught, you know, if you went to a church and there was a pastor and they received a salary, like that was just, that was false because it was not following, you know, Matthew 10.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of scripture that was cherry picked. Like we met in homes, and we would rent facilities like say a funeral home or a senior center to have what was called like a gospel meeting on like a Sunday afternoon where, you know, that was where people were supposed to like come from the outside to hear the gospel from the 2x2 workers. No one ever actually seemed to come from the outside, which is kind of ironic. There was that verse like, you know, God does not dwell in temples made by man, right? So yeah. It was, you know, verses were picked. They were definitely taken out of context, right? We've, you know, learned for instance coming here, what's prescriptive versus descriptive, you know? And so certain things are like explaining what was going on in that time. It doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, you have to meet in a home today and you have to have workers that go out 2x2. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of, you know, they referenced the scripture and a lot of us didn't know our Bibles well enough to dig in and look at, you know, why Jesus sent them out 2x2, right? To the house of Israel, right? Yeah. And then later on, there was the Great Commission, right? Matthew 28. I don't think I even knew that existed in the Bible and what that was, right? Mm-hmm. We're all disciples. But
I think we just figured he was talking to the disciples. Like, you know, you guys are the disciples. Mm-hmm. Go and teach them all. But we had no idea that that pertained to us or to the people. Mm-hmm. And so it was just kind of, everything revolved around us believing that, I don't know, there's this term exclusivity where you are the only ones, right? And so if you believe that, then everything else is false and you can do no wrong because you are the only way.
Yeah.
So you kind of don't dig because if this is the only way, then what is there that you need to know other than that, you know? Yeah.
So I'll go back to some of the beliefs because I really do want to hear more of those. But one of the things that seems to be a pattern, a lot of them is strong families. So did you guys come from strong families or, I mean, good, godly work ethic people? Mm-hmm. I don't know what your families were like.
Yeah. So we were both like fourth generation, born and raised, going like to the meetings.
Our grandparents, the great grandparents would have
met
originally heard the original like the workers.
So it's all we've known. And I mean, it's good family ethics. It's, you know, the whole family goes and there's no separation of like children and adults. You all hear the same preaching. You're all together all the time. So, I mean, it was very family based and yeah, I mean, we grew up very well. We did not have any abuse in our families, and it was all very good Christian homes. I mean, we had good morals. Mm-hmm. We were raised right.
But. You told me your story a little bit earlier about how you came to get married, so and it's kind of staying within the group. So if you don't mind, tell us that story about how you met and got married. And
so it would have been frowned upon to marry outside of this way. If you did, you were a part of a broken home, and that was frowned upon. So you were encouraged to marry within. And Shane grew up in Wisconsin and was pretty much related to a lot of the people here. It's a very small group. So a lot of the kids were encouraged to go to elsewhere, to go to other states. There's big get-togethers where young people would come and you'd try to find a spouse or there was our annual meetings, which was like a church convention,
a 4-day,
like a retreat, but not a retreat of what modern Christianity would look at. It was a convention where you met for 4 days on basically a retrofitted farm for this, where hundreds of people would gather. So you'd either go to convention or you'd go to get togethers to meet your spouse. So Shane was at one of these get-togethers and met my sister, and my sister was too old for him, so she suggested I meet him someday. And back then, she called me and told me about him and mailed me a picture of him. And I thought nothing of it because how are we ever going to meet? And then fast forward 4 years later and he found me on Facebook when it was cool, right?
Yeah, when it was still cool. Before my parents got on it. My mom, I should say.
So we talked for a little bit on there and we both had significant others at that point. So nothing serious came of our talking, but then a couple months later, unbeknownst to us, we had both broken up with our boyfriend and girlfriend. And so
ironically, they were people that were not in the church.
They were not in the church. Yes, we were both rebelling at that time, I would say. We were both dating outside.
It has no future. Yes. So.
So one day I thought, I'm going to message that Shane Garner. And so I walked home from class and booted up my computer. And before I could message him, I already had a message from him. Mm-hmm. So from there, it was talking on the phone. And one day he boldly flew to Colorado to meet me and my whole family because I was living at home during the summer. And yeah, the rest is history. We had a long-distance relationship for a couple years, and then we got married and
But we had the shared common background of being raised in the 2x2, so that checked like most of the boxes of like, well, you can work through everything. You go to the meetings, as we called it, and
we did, like, we had a shared understanding that we wanted to raise our family in this way, and we did want a relationship with God, and we wanted to try our best to feed that.
So then from there, tell me what happened that started to cause you to think maybe this isn't the right thing, because that's got to be huge. As tight as this is, family was.
Yeah, so I think us living away from our families and having to make all new friends, because when we were first married, we lived in Rochester, Minnesota. And so we were away from family, had to make, you know, our own connections. And I don't know, we said the other day, he asked me if I had told you I wanted to stop going to meetings years ago, when would you have stopped? And I looked at him and I said, 17 years ago, which we'd been married 17 years. And I was like, I didn't enjoy it. I was not learning anything. And we were always kind of wondering to ourselves, not to each other, like, why am I not getting this? Why am I not understanding the Bible? Why is it not clicking for us? And, you know, you would ask older people, like, do you feel like you know it? Do you feel like you're saved? And the answer was always like, oh, we hope so. We hope to know one day.
No assurance.
There was no assurance of salvation. So that just caused fear and anxiety in us. Mm. And I don't know. I think we were slowly being woken up by God for the last 17 years.
Because we've been married since 2008. So we look back now and we can see like God working and like trying to open our eyes to things and probably make a whole list of things where we're like, but it didn't all, like, we were still so like deceived in our, we always say like the scales were on our eyes, like the devil had us, you know, just so deceived. And so we, you know, we just kind of kept plodding along being like, well, we're really not learning much, but we also had been taught that every other church out there was false, right? Mm-hmm. All the other churches were false. Yeah. They were all wrong. It didn't matter if it was, you know, a Catholic, Lutheran, Baptist, you know, a newer, you know, Christian, a progressive Christian church or whatever it may be, that it was, they were all false because they didn't have essentially 2x2, you know, the ministry was false. So there was just a lot of things that, you know, I don't know. I think we were both pretty deceived and just kind of plodding along.
Mm-hmm. Well, we were comfortable.
We were comfortable. All we knew. Yeah.
So we weren't going to try anything else. Yeah. And we moved around a lot. And so each time we moved, you had to build your community again. And it was building your community in this church. And it was comfortable. Everywhere you went, anywhere in the world, you could find a meeting.
Really?
So we traveled to India when we were engaged and we were with some of our friends who were a part of this church, but there was a meeting to go to, you know. You go to Europe, you look up the workers there and they give you a meeting. So anywhere in the world, quite literally.
Yeah.
You could, my family traveled to Australia. We found a convention. We found a meeting.
A four-day convention.
Mm-hmm. Well, we only went one day.
And we were always told, like, you go to that. It was like the spirit's the same, you know. It was the same spirit.
Yeah.
We've learned that wasn't necessarily the Holy Spirit. It was just the spirit of the group.
It was the spirit of comfortableness.
I had no idea there was that many around.
Yes.
Well, so I guess don't know numbers-wise, right? Because, like, to get into it, like, there's no website. There's no official book. You can't find any information on the internet other than if you Google, like, 2x2 church. Now there's a bunch of, like, FBI investigating the 2x2 church. So you can find things out there now. And there's, like, Wikipedia page. Yeah. There's a really good book out there that someone wrote that left many years ago that explains all of it. But there was never any, like, you know, literature out there. So we don't even know numbers. You know, there's been estimated that, you know, at some point there maybe was like a couple hundred thousand people in the 1980s.
I think in the 80s it was at
its
peak.
Now, I mean, I guess worldwide there's, you know, people say 75,000, just say, right? And that's worldwide.
But that was before 2023. So I think it's probably dropped.
But I mean, it's, you know, probably most countries you could find at least a couple 2x2 workers and maybe a small little meeting. Yeah. So it is a very small group. It's just, it was very widespread, and they made a point of going into other countries and trying to convert them to essentially, you know, their version of
very similar to the same, like, 1800s churches, like LDS Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah. And
so 2023 is kind of the year that everything changed. So there's been a growing sense that the guy was kind of pulling you out or getting you ready.
Yeah.
23 changed. What happened then?
Yeah.
So prior to 2023, we moved to this area, and there was, like, a prison ministry set up by our workers in the area, which is all well and good, but it seemed like the prisoners they were associating with were all pedophiles. And so we were kind of like, that's kind of weird that those are just the typical ones that they were meeting with. And then it came out that an elder in our area was arrested for
child pornography
and arranging to meet a minor. And then there was another man who wasn't an elder, but it came out that he had child sexual abuse allegations. And so we were kind of like, do we want our kids around this? You know, and we know it can happen anywhere. Mm-hmm. But this hit a little close to home. And so from the time our son was born in 2014 was when we found out about this. We were very protective of our kids, and we were basically pleading with the workers to have these men, once they got out of prison, to not be in meeting with our children, because why would you want that with your innocent children in a place of worship, you know?
And these were small home settings.
Small homes, where, you know, private 15 homes.
15 people sitting around in a home.
Yeah. Like, that gets awkward when you're sitting.
Why can't they meet with other adults or people that agree to meet with them versus putting our kids in there?
We didn't want them to not have any fellowship. We just didn't want fellowship with our children involved. So because we were all together, there was no separation. Yeah. So we were labeled at that time as the troublemakers in the area because we were speaking out against that. And
and we were told, like, there's other people that have worse skeletons in their closet.
Yeah. So why are you worried about this?
And everything, you know, along our whole lives was you just need to show forgiveness to everyone. Like, it didn't mean, like, that person, you know, having to get right with the Lord. It was like, we have to show this, and there shouldn't be any, you know, any sort of, like, addressing this or asking questions was like a hardness of heart, like something that was wrong with us.
Right. Pressure on you.
Yeah.
Right. So,
So then in 2022, summer of 2022, we had gotten wind of, so there's local workers, and then each state or region has what we called an overseer, which sounds terrible in context, but so an overseer had died on the West Coast, and
in Oregon,
and he was found in a hotel room. And we kind of looked at each other and we're like, what was he doing in a hotel room? You know, they're supposed to be living in our homes, migrating around to people's homes, staying 2 to 3 days to a week at a time. Why was he in a hotel room? But whatever, we kind of brushed it off. And You know, his funeral happened and people built him up on a pedestal in his legacy, and we just kind of moved on. But then in March of 2023, it came out that not only was he in a hotel room, but he was surrounded by piles of cash. He had drugs in his system, and he had child porn and all kinds of other material on his computer. So we were kind of like,
In the other, it had essentially been shoveled underneath the rug, right? This letter, they had passed this letter out in this one meeting in Oregon and gave this piece of paper saying what was going on, but they said you have to pass the paper back. Well, someone ended up taking like a photo of it and sending it out, and so this letter started circulating. So they essentially just tried to shovel underneath the rug, like we learned they did for, you know, since the late 1800s, of just, let's just act like nothing's here, right?
Because
for the greater good of the 2x2 community.
If you're the only way, then you need to preserve the only way. Yeah. So we had tried to talk to people in our area, specifically in our meeting, about it. And people were just kind of like, you know, there's bad in every church. And just kind of brushed it off. But it was really concerning to us. And
We like legitimately thought like, oh, people are going to want to know about this, like this thing that we've put, you know, our whole lives into, that is, you know, the best way. Like we thought, you know, like, okay, this in our minds, like we didn't, me and Nicole, I would say we both didn't think like, you know, other Christians were going to hell, but plenty of people that we met with would have thought that, because that was kind of like, you're not part of this. You're looked at as a lost eternity. But we thought, you know, people are going to want to hear about this, and they're going to want to like address this biblically and how, you know, elders should be and all these different things. And they're going to want to know that like there's some things getting shoveled underneath the rug. And we were just taken aback that people didn't want to hear any of this. We tried to sit down with like our elders and with some of the workers and explain this. And we were always taught like never to read anything on the internet. Like I still remember my parents told me never look up anything on this church on the internet.
But you did in college.
I remember doing it in college, but there was stuff out there, and it wasn't good stuff, right? So we thought, okay, we'll bring this forward, and people are just like, oh, that's just, you know, that's stuff on the internet, or these are lies, or that's the devil trying to disrupt your peace. All the typical things of just trying to continue to brainwash people and keep everything hidden and not let essentially the secret out of the bag.
Yeah. So that's what led you to leave.
Well, yeah. So
we ended up
trying to change the
church. Thinking we could change it.
That summer. Our entire summer was devoted to, well, we got a few hundred people.
We started a social media site that connected people from platform from around the world. And so there was a few thousand people connected on there, and people were talking from around the world. Some that had left years ago, others that were still in it. And all these common stories started coming together of like, you know, spiritual abuse, physical abuse, you know, sexual abuse, all these different traumas that people had had, or just, you know, questions they'd had, like, this can't be the only way, or why, you know, my husband goes to church and he's not part of this and he's been treated terribly. Like, it was all these people coming together of all generations wanting to ask questions and talk about what we were part of, because there never was a way to communicate other than, you know, I know so-and-so and they come visit us and we talk. So it started bringing people together. But at that point, you know, we, in our journey, we still thought this was, me and Nicole didn't look at it as the only way, even though there are a lot of people we met with thought it was the only way, but we thought it was the best way, because we could go and find scripture and say, 2x2 meeting in the home, we don't have the church and all the, you know, these influences and paid pastors and buildings to deal with. And it's simple, right? It's just the teachings of Jesus. And so that, you know, we still wanted to try to fix it. So we spent a couple months thinking and talking to people, and people around the country tried to like sit down with the ministers, and
we were having Zoom calls with ministers. We were having like people from Australia, South Africa, everybody was like coming together on this platform, because there was no other way to communicate. And
it consumed our lives.
It did. And we wasn't
healthy.
What was shocking was we sat down with our overseer. And we kind of outlined, like, this should be simple. There are other churches that have policies where, like, men or women that are abusers are not allowed to be around children. And so we were just looking for simple policies like that. And every single overseer, one after another, after another, one state would get a policy written by a group of friends and it would get shot down. And then another policy would be written like, oh, maybe this state will pass it, and it would get shot down. And
but they would ultimately just say, well, we just need the Spirit and
we don't
need
the
policies. Bible as our policy.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's some of the hardest stuff when, you know, we look at why people today still don't want to open their eyes, because it's like, oh, we just need the Bible. Mm. And they, so, you know, they have the Bible. It's only the King James, but it's completely being misinterpreted and stuff's taken out of context. And essentially, like as you had the sermon the other Sunday about don't use the Bible as a club, right? Mm-hmm. So it's that's what it's getting used as. So all this stuff we thought, you know, people are going to want to hear this to bring some transparency. Maybe the church can start to have some accountability and it can be good and we can change even how we meet and have Bible studies, men's groups, different things.
Change how women were required to be, because we were supposed to have long hair, up in a bun,
only wear dresses,
you know, just silly things like that hadn't changed with the times, like no TV, yet everyone had a phone in their pocket that could find far worse stuff and clearly did than a TV, you know, just stuff that hadn't modernized with the rest of the world. We're like, maybe we can change. Maybe we could make this the good church it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And we just kept hitting brick wall after brick wall
No one wanted change. Yeah. They didn't want to.
Well, except a couple thousand people.
Well, yes, but change. No one like, yeah, people that didn't want change and it wasn't received well. And you were just looking at as having a hard heart. No, not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah. And so somewhere along there, you have to leave and go to another church. Yes. That's got to be terrifying, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. So one of Shane's cousins,
Rex and Debbie Baseman,
he was on this platform because he was a former member of The Truth.
But left 20-some years ago and all for doctrinal reasons.
Yep. So they reached out to us and said, you know, we'd love to have you over for dinner. His brother was visiting, who was a former worker. So we agreed to have dinner with them, and we just kind of sat down and hashed things out. And at the end of it, Rex asked, so what would need to change for you guys to stay? Mm. And we kind of looked at each other and
pretty much said, the list is too long. Like, and
Like, we wanted money transparency. We wanted, you know, changes in how we met and policies. And the list was just ludicrous.
It was enormous, you know.
It was like you could go start a new church for that, you know. So he said, well, you have a big decision to make for you and your family. Can I pray for you? And we had never been prayed over in our lives. One thing that we didn't talk about was how formal our meetings were. Our prayers were very formal. They were in King James Version language, these and thous. And he just prayed so simply for us. He just used our names and just prayed for God to intercede for us. And so we left that dinner changed. I mean, we were like, is that what it's supposed to be like? So.
And they were, so we had always been like told, people that left are like Rex and Debbie, like, oh, you know, they went to a church with a paid pastor and they've lost out, and hopefully someday they come back. And we had, you know, had kept in touch with them or seen them at family functions, and they never seemed miserable. And they just, that night, it was like they had so much joy. And we went home from there that night, and I told her, I said, I am never going back to a 2x2 meeting. I said, I am done. And it had been a couple months of just all this stuff. And like I said, at that point, we knew the doctrine was off in what we were part of. We didn't realize the degree, but I just said, you know what? I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah. And it was mainly, I mean, because he was a moderator of the social media site, people felt comfortable bringing their stories to him. So he had heard
a lot of
dozens
stories.
Just so many
of victim
and
stories.
Generational and abuse, like just this 2x2 church just destroyed generations of people.
Yeah.
And it was just like.
So at that point, he had to leave because of the abuse. He was like, we can't have our family in it. And at that point, I was still a people pleaser and I was terrified of what that would mean in our circles. And we'd have a divided home. And what
your
would
family.
That be? Yes.
Yeah.
And I was so comfortable because it was all we knew. And it was the simple, beautiful way to meet. And so, yeah, then I guess we went on a couple trips and you never went to a meeting again.
I never went again. I felt like that was, I've always said, like, I know some people say they hear God like an audible voice or like you'd have a feeling. I've always like felt a feeling. And like that night, I've never had such a profound feeling of God just coming over me being like, you are done. I don't know. You know, it was like, I don't know where this is going to go, but it's like, he's like, I've got you. Like, you just need to let this go. There's nothing for you here. So that's, you know, and you got
so
a couple weeks later,
that was
you
his
got there.
End to
we,
it.
We maybe but had like a birthday party where we're in the bedroom yelling like
screaming.
Loud voices and tears because I'm like, I don't want our kids going to that. And you were, I don't want a divided home. And
I mean, I was comfortable. That's what I say. I did not trust the process. I did not trust that God would have us if we left. And then you went on another trip and brought our oldest son with you, right? And then he was like, well, why don't you just call me and have a Zoom Bible study with me and all the other guys that he was with that weekend. And I was like, no, I'm going to go to meeting. I just feel like I need to be in meeting. So I went with my two kids and with the two youngest, and I can't even describe it, but it was like I wasn't even there. I was treated like a ghost. Like all comfort was just gone. And my peace was not there anymore. And so I walked out of that meeting and I was like, I'm done. I can't. Those people looked at me like I was an abomination. They didn't talk to me. And I mean, part of that was probably because of the big stink that we had raised, but I think it was God taking away my comfort. It was just gone.
Yeah. You know, I just want to tell you, there's that place where you do all you can do. You actually are peacemakers, and you're trying to bring peace to the organization that you are incredibly loyal to. And people who've been through it understand it. I understand what you're experiencing because you are trying to make it work from within, but they just didn't want to be changed. And at that point, God kind of pried you out, looks like to
he
me.
Did.
Yeah.
He did.
And there's like, we've been hearing a lot, I mean, since we've left, about even like the spiritual realms, which we never even contemplated, I don't think, in our entire reading of the Bible. And it's like we were fighting so much against the flesh, and it was like
it was a spiritual battle,
and there was no way we were going to make any headway because, I mean, I don't want to say the devil was in it, but it's almost like another spirit had taken over it and hardened the hearts of all the leaders because they didn't want to do anything. So at that point, it was like, it's not our battle anymore. We can't do this. So,
And we had, I mean, one of the biggest things for us was the fact that we had three kids that our oldest at that time would have been, you know, nine years old. And like we, you know, there was one profound thing where even though we had been pretty open with our kids, like, you know, there's other people that go to other churches, like it doesn't mean that, you know, they're not going to be in heaven, like that's just how they meet. And so we, I would say we never told our kids like this is the 2x2s is the only way. But our son, he must have been, he was seven, and he had come home from school one day and he's like, well, my friend, he goes to this church, this other church, but he's like, that's not right because it's not meetings. And we're like,
I looked at him and I was like, who told you that? And he goes, I don't know, but it must not be right because it's not meetings. And I was like,
so we looked back and we realized, like, you know, our kids just sitting in these 2x2 functions, and even what we had, even if, you know, our parents had said, if they would have had said something different, you just started absorbing, and it was a brainwashing.
You listened to everything
and
that
you just
said.
Took on, and you took everything they had to say, even if you're like, okay, maybe that's not right. And we realized, like, we had all these, you know, preconceived notions. And like, when you start having that with a young child, it was like really scary. And so when we needed to separate them, it was like, okay, we want our kids to be safe. But we need to find, there's gotta be more, more to this than trying to, you know, serve God in this 2x2 system.
Yeah.
So then the following Sunday, we watched a River Valley service online, and we also watched a church in Denver where my parents live, because they had been actually watching sermons at this church.
It was just the Calvary Chapel.
Yeah, it was Calvary Chapel. Yeah, sure. But they, so we watched a couple of those sermons, and then, I mean, at this point, we felt like we didn't even know our Bibles. We both decided we needed to get rid of our King James Version Bible and get a different translation. And so
you had ironically bought me a brand new, she's always like, you need a nicer Bible. I was reading like a King James Study Bible. And so she bought me a really nice, like actual leather, you know, King James Bible, just like not that long before. And
for Father's Day.
For Father's Day. And I'm like, I can't read this. And I gave it to her,
your dad.
I'm like, I'm done with this. And I still, to this day, like, I can't read. I don't want to read out of the King James
Version. And for a while, when we had been coming to River Valley, this is jumping ahead, I brought my King James Version Bible to church because I was like, I want to see how much it differs from what you were reading or what whoever was reading. And it got to a point where it was so like, how this is why we got things so wrong, because it was like so hard to understand, you know, and wasn't, I don't know, easy to read or whatever. But anyway, so then the next Sunday, I was just wanting to sit at home and just do a Bible study between the two of us. And Shane came out dressed for church. And he goes, I'm going to go try Rex and Debbie's church. And I was like, okay, have fun. Let me know how it is. And so he was like walking out the door, and our oldest came out and he's like, where's dad going? And I was like, well, he's going to go try Rex and Debbie's church. And he kind of looked at me, and then
I think you'd actually said he's going to go try a new median or something. Did she say no?
No, okay, I don't remember how I put it. But anyway, so then he looked at me and was like, well, why aren't we going? And I didn't have a reason for him. I just sat there. So I was like, I don't know, because I don't want to go. But he's like, well, and I said, I guess we can all go. So we all got dressed and
got in the van.
The whole way here, I felt like I was going to throw up, because we'd been told that worldly churches are wrong.
All are
false. Like, they're all false. So I thought a bolt of lightning was going to come down and strike our van. And I mean, like, I was physically ill. So we walked in, and how would you describe it?
So this was
it?
at the old church. And we walk in, and so you have to understand, when you walked into a 2x2 meeting,
gospel,
like if it was at you know, someone's home, or if it was at the community center, you would be sitting in like chairs like it is out there, but you'd get there like 15 minutes early and no one would talk. No one would say anything, right? It was silent.
Look at you. And then kind of look back
and
down.
And you'd shush your kids and all this stuff.
Yeah,
right?
Our kids had to
your
be
kids sat
absolutely
with you.
Quiet.
So this is what we're used to walking to. And we had a hymn book that we sung out of, but it was very like solemn hymns. Like, music wasn't a worship thing, right?
It was.
What the worldly churches did was like sing and have band instruments and like get excited and put hands up in the air, right? No one was putting hands up in the air in the 2x2s. But so
the only way to describe it is walking into a funeral because it's so somber.
Yeah.
And so we walked into River Valley, and we were like, why is everyone smiling?
Like, you people are happy.
Like,
they're out in like
people
the foyer.
People were joyful and talking and just so happy to be there.
And eating donuts.
Yes.
So our kids
were excited.
Oh, donuts? We can come back here. But so someone had, I remember Andrea had seen us walk in, and she's like, are you new here? And we're like, yeah. And she's like, well, let me show you around and you can come sit by us. So she like showed us around and
she tried to take our kids to the children's ministry we're like, and we're like, no, we're
not doing that. We're not ready for that.
No, we don't trust anyone.
Yeah. We went and sat in there and just started kind of taking it all in. And like, obviously the music was very different and we knew from watching online, like, you know, yeah, this is going to be worship music. Like we've been told by other people, like even Rex and Debbie, like it's going to feel very different, you know? But right away, like we just kind of took it all in and like you started teaching. And so like one thing too, I think it's just important with, cause the 2x2s were all based on, you know, the homeless, penniless ministry, but no one had any biblical training, right? So no one went to seminary. It was a lot of these people were straight out of high school or whatever it was. Like you were, you know, they said called and they were just given the spirit. And so they would have everything they need to know. And a lot of these people were all born and raised in the 2x2s. So they were preaching and did not have any knowledge of, you know, Hebrew or Greek or, like we said, prescriptive, descriptive, the context of the time period or how to go through a book, how to break down a verse. So that's what we were used to. It was like you just go and hear about the sower and the seed. And at the end of it, I just want to be good ground, you know. And not that there wasn't biblical teaching and some things that were, it wasn't necessarily always a bad message, but it was, there was just no growth, right? And there was no way to ask questions.
Yeah.
So we, you know, came in and I don't remember even what you can explain the Daniel thing, but.
Well, it was, yeah, you were speaking at Daniel and you said something about him being, you know, like in his 80s, I think. And then he probably didn't think that this was the way his life was going to go. And this must not have been the plan that God had for him. And you might be thinking that this isn't what God planned for your life. And then you said, I got news for you. This is God's plan for you. You're here and you have a choice. You can either be faithful or not. And so we looked at each other and we were just like bawling because...
Which we allow here.
So yeah. I mean, this was not how we pictured our life to go. So
yeah, and we were, yeah. And so on the way home, I remember we were crying in the car, and my first thing was like, I mean, we had this comfort of like, we're gonna be okay. Like God was like, I've got you. But it was like, how were we taught so wrong? Like how did, you know, I was 38 years old at the time, spending my whole life in this. Like how did we weren't taught our Bibles. Like this, we were just amazed at walking into this, but yet, you know, just to walk into that was so hard because it was just everything we were told was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, then from there on out, we just started attending. We started reading our Bibles. I know there was a period of time, several months, you couldn't read your Bible
or pray
just because it was,
it wasn't triggering, but I was questioning like if what I was reading was true because I'd read my Bible my whole life.
Yeah.
And it, I don't know. So then we started healing, I think.
Yeah.
And then
we started, you know, we were always.
He was always more. Yeah. He's the more extroverted.
Yeah, I'll jump into like anything. And then
the story of you and your church planting and inviting your wife to come along with you. And then she disappears and you find her in the fetal position on her bed. Like that's me. That's him. It's just.
But eventually the ironic thing of all this was when we had moved here to Ripon, like 10. Well, it had been 12 years. Mm-hmm. So there's a period of time where, you know, we had just been with the 2x2s and there was, you know, in the whole Ripon Green Lake area, there was about like, what, 8, 10, 12 people?
10 of us.
Very small number of people. So that was kind of our community. We never really connected with people. And all of a sudden, we got a list of like all the people in Ripon that were coming to RVC. And it was like a bunch of our neighbors.
We just started laughing because I was like, these are our neighbors. Like, this is one of our kids' teachers. This is, you know, we recognized all the names and we're like, all these people go to RVC, really?
Yeah.
Like, it was.
And so then, like, Wyatt got eventually, after a couple of months, asked if I wanted to be discipled. And we got involved with a few guys that are in our life group and our Ripon community. And these were, you know, neighbors. I can see two of these guys' houses from my dining room table. And we eventually got into life group, and you got in with women's Bible study, and like God just took over in our lives and just opened everything to us. And it just, it's just been amazing. Like God's given us so much, and it's just amazing really where he's taken us. I can't even put it into words, because there's, like I said, we could turn this into like a 15-hour podcast, but no one wants to listen to that. It's just after what we came out of, it's like just being so excited, because we are just hungry for the word. And like we said, we were starving and we didn't know it. And we always were like, what's missing? Like, why am I not excited? Like, why do I not want to like read my Bible? And like, there's got to be more to this. And then all of a sudden God's just, now that the scales have fallen off our eyes, it's opened our eyes to scripture, and we've, you know, studied together and prayed together. And it's just, we realized like we always read the Bible, because every Sunday we had to come up, every Sunday and Wednesday, we had to come up with, like, we called it a testimony. And we kind of talked to you about this before. Like, this is now our testimony, but every Sunday we came up with a little one, and we pick a Bible verse or two and say, I want to be more faithful in this. We had to have like a desire. And so we always thought, you know, the Bible was written
to us,
right? Mm. But it's like, we've learned it's written for us, and it shows God and his character. And it's just,
him, not us.
You know, the Old Testament was opened up, like seeing like, oh, it's not just those Old Testament stories. Yeah. It was like, it shows God's character through everything. And you know, I remember still when we walked in, and the first big series we went through was Leviticus. And I was like, I think I've tried reading that once or twice and not gotten very far.
That was eye opening. Like, we had no idea.
That's amazing.
So it just goes, exactly. So like, we're really going to cover this like for months, and like, what's in this?
And then we did John for over a year. And actually Rex had said, it's almost like, he knew you guys needed the foundation.
Like for 2x2s, like
gospel.
He was speaking
He's
to 2x2s.
Like, every single sermon could be pointed towards someone coming out of the 2x2s. Yeah. And we're like, yeah, I mean, must be a God thing, because we landed right where we needed to land.
Certainly above my pay grade. God on his own. So. Well, just tell me just some of the things that are different about your life now.
I feel like, I don't know, it's, like there was a darkness, like a heavy, I don't know, pall over anything spiritual. And now it's just like light, because Jesus is our light and our salvation. And it's just like eye-opening. I don't think I ever learned truly about grace. And I don't think I knew I was saved fully until probably September of 2023. I don't think there was always a part of me that was like, but grace, you know, it says we are saved by grace through faith. Where is that? When am I going to feel that? Because we were always hearing you have to do more. And they would preach against works, but at the same time, it was very like, you were expected to do things. You were expected to attend every meeting. Those were the works you were supposed to do related to the church, not related to humanity at large. Like,
or works coming through like your faith
and your thankfulness. So,
and I know that in the 2x2s, they don't believe that Jesus is God.
Yes,
you're saying
correct.
That he's kind of the example, but he's not.
He's the elder
Christ.
Brother
he's not the one.
To strive to be.
So
like.
We can try to be like him. And that's like when we went through John, it was like in the beginning was the word. And you go back to Genesis and like, you just see like, I can't. You know, someone's like, okay, explain the Trinity. I'd be like, okay, well, give me like a few minutes to try to explain this, right? Like anyone
can
say they can't fully understand it, but it's like every time I read the Bible now, it's just beginning to just fully understand like Father, you know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, not a hierarchy thing, you know? And I think for me, like just knowing that I've placed my faith in Jesus Christ, he is my savior, and I am saved. I could have never said that. I would have just said, you know, hopefully, you know, if I were to get in a car accident on the way home from work one day, that, you know, I opened my Bible or I did enough, or, you know, God's merciful. So it was always, you know, never knowing, but just the Holy Spirit. We always in meetings had heard about the Spirit, but understanding like the Holy Spirit's given to us when we place our faith in him, and just seeing letting the Spirit work and seeing how it's helped us with parenting, our marriage, you know, showing Jesus to other people. Like it's God's alive in us. We in the 2x2s, we put God in this little box and we put it over here and we pull him out a couple times a week. Now God is, you know, he's in us, he's in everything that we do. And it's not a burden to serve him. It's with joy, and it's like, what can we do for him? And so it's opened up this whole world where we're no longer scared of, you know, what's out there. It's like, God's big. He's got this.
Yeah. That's so exciting. It is. What a long journey. That's a really long journey, but it's a real journey. I mean, that's you come from the direction you come from. And so obviously you're loyal, hardworking, trying to make it work.
Yeah.
So did your kids ever get used to the music?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So they're okay. They're good with it now.
Now our 6 year old, she'll catch him. He's always singing stuff, but he's just starts singing.
Music. Yeah.
And the neat thing was seeing where we have kind of this lifetime of experiences in the past that I think will like always be with us to some degree, but I think it's our history, right? It's never going to go away. And there's probably some good in us just being able to help other people, or it's just a reminder of what we came out of. But you kind of explain the whole Egypt thing.
Our women's Bible study is going through Exodus, and I just feel like, well, there's a song called Egypt that says now I'm going to forget the words because I'm on camera. But it's like, you stepped into my Egypt. You took me by the hand. You walked me out in freedom into the promised land. And it's like, he took us out of our bondage. You know, we were we were slaves to a system.
We knew who we were. We just didn't.
We didn't know for sure that God knew who we were. We didn't. Yeah. We didn't ever feel that.
Yeah. But God. Now you've seen he's writing your story.
Yes.
And it's amazing because, like, even though we have this baggage, and every year it seems to get, you know, a little bit lighter, and, you know, 2 years in, it's like there's a whole lot less anger about what we were a part of and some of the things we experienced. But our kids have just, like, blossomed. And I, like, the part of them being able to go to the kids' ministry and learn and, like, read, you know, an age-appropriate Bible, like we, you know, have like an action Bible with pictures and you know, it's accurate, but it's at least something they get excited about. And so our kids have just, it's exciting to see like where they're going to go in life with God because of, you know, how he's led us out into something so much greater than what we were part of. So it's just, it's exciting. I don't, like, it's hard to even come up with words and I know it's probably this interview and sound jumbled and all that stuff. I have all this stuff and I'm just like, oh, we missed this and we missed that. But it's just God's been so good to us. And we've learned, like, you know, there's other people that have come out of legalism and other churches, and I guess it's just want people to know that it's like there's freedom out there, and it's jumping through all these man-made hoops and systems is not what God not what God requires of us, you know.
Well, man, thank you so much. I know when I met you, I remember thinking, they're really interested in the Bible. They were really digging in hard. You were asking some questions that wasn't quite, well, that's fine. But it was really deep and really in, and now I understand better about that. And I never heard of the 2x2s. I mean, I am almost the
most people have not.
There's no paper trail.
Heard of them, so.
No.
But regardless of that, our God is so good.
So good.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being a part of our podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Exploring Faith. If today's story encouraged you, share it with a friend and keep living sent. We'll see you next time.